Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, fight fans, and happy Star Wars Day to you. It's George Spoley. Welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. Our co-host and the editor at the MMA Corner and Scrap Fight Magazine, Mr. Josh Davis, will be joining us shortly, if he's not in the movie theaters. A lot to talk about. We have the UFC aftermath. We've literally, in the last 6 months, seen every title change hands except Dillashaw's title. In the UFC, that matters. Long-standing champions. We saw Anthony Pettis lose his title. We saw Cain Velasquez lose his title. We saw Ronda lose her title. We saw Chris Weidman lose his title. And we saw Jose Aldo, after 10 years, lose his title. What's going on, brother? Welcome to the show. Happy Star Wars to you. And what's going on?
You know, I was just trying to get over the Denver cold. We got hammered with a blizzard and all the snow shoveling, I got sick. But I am excited to see yet another title change hands this weekend.
Are you referring to Dos Anjos?
You know, I am. And I don't know that Donald's getting this victory, but, you know, with all the titles changing hands, I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen.
Well, let's get to the fallout. 13 seconds. Jose Aldo got caught with a punch he didn't see. Great timing on the counter punch. Everybody was saying a lucky punch. You know, as a striking coach or as an instructor, you know, in teaching people how to strike, that's where you do it. You do it. You don't do it in the front. You don't do it in the back. You do it right in the middle. And Connor had great timing for that punch to land and put him down. So congratulations to him. What's happening now after that before we get to everything else? Is he going to fight Frankie?
Real quickly. I just want to throw this out there. And you're a striking coach, so I'm pretty sure you'll back me up on this. There's no such thing as a lucky punch. Every punch is thrown with the intention of landing. And it doesn't take much to put somebody's lights out. You hit them in the right spot, especially on the jaw or right behind the ear. That shockwave goes to the brain, and it's lights out instantly. It was not a lucky punch. It was a beautiful counter punch. And to be honest, you know, Jose connected. He hit Connor with a heck of a punch, gave him a black eye, still went to sleep. It was a beautiful counter by Connor. Now, as far as Connor goes, everything that I'm getting out of Paradigm, which is a company that represents him, he is anxiously awaiting the results of this fight. And it will dictate how he moves forward. If Cerrone wins, look for him to want to fight Cerrone in April and then Edgar in July. If Cerrone loses, I don't think we'll hear a whole lot of Connor talking about the 155-pound title. There's just no money in a fight with RDA. And unless he can convince Lorenzo to allow him to hold both titles and defend both titles, I don't think he'll push for that fight. But if Cerrone wins, I do think he'll push for that, because, again, it truly would be Ireland versus America, you know, with the following of both fighters. And there's a lot of money to be made there.
So he's just basically in it for the money. So Frankie gets what? Get to sit down again when it comes to this particular fight?
Pretty much. He's going to, if he is going to fight again at 145 pounds, his next fight will be Frankie. But there's no guarantee that he's going to fight again at 145 pounds. Now, if that doesn't happen, let's say he and his coaches decide 145 is no longer a good weight cut for him. He goes up, gets the immediate lightweight title shot. Frankie and Jose would immediately fight for the the 145-pound title.
So what did he get the title for then? If he always wanted to, he got the title. You know, I'm talking to you about this because I've been seeing it, and you're in the know more than I am as far as, you know, getting your hooks into a lot of things. But what was the purpose of getting the title besides just making the money that he made to say, okay, I'm done? Truthfully, he hasn't cleaned out the division. There's still some fights for him at 45. Or, and you can answer this better than I can, is he starting to see now he's having problems making the weight and he's tired of cutting all that weight?
I think now that he's starting to grow into his adult body, he is seeing that the 145-pound cut is pretty tough. But in his mind, he wants both belts, and that's his ultimate goal. And so that's getting the 145-pound title and using all of that momentum was step one. Here's the thing. He would not have had the same ascent to the top at the 155-pound division because it's too deep. There are too many contenders that wouldn't have allowed him to get a title shot so quickly. The 145 pounds, he didn't have that high of a mountain to climb, so to speak. And so he did it smartly. He was able to build the following. Now he's at the top of that mountain, and he kind of can do certain things that he wants to do, but it'll all depend on the negotiations that he has with Lorenzo Fertitta. For those who don't know, Conor does not negotiate with Dana or Frank Fertitta. The only person Conor talks to is Lorenzo. And the other thing is Conor has said he wants a minimum of $12 million for his next fight. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But right now, you know, the UFC put themselves in a position where they basically gave Conor all the cards, and he's not a dummy. He knows how to play the hand that they dealt him. So,
look, as long as he's winning, I definitely agree with you. I didn't mean to cut you off, but, you know, he went in, played the game, made his bed, and let's be honest, he's making them money. You know, there's no doubt about it, making them a lot of money. So for him to start laying it down, and you know, I find it odd that miraculously he and John Jones have both said publicly almost within a month that they don't negotiate with Dana. Let's see what Lorenzo says, you know, which tells me that the front man has lost or is losing a lot of his steam, you know. But look, this is the fight game. And if these guys made a few $100 million, I think the fighters that are putting up should be making money as well, too. There's no doubt about it, especially when they're boasting the kind of numbers that they're boasting on pay-per-view. But,
you know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say real quickly, when the UFC makes $125 million an event and they have a disclosed payout of $1.2 million to the fighters, there's something inherently wrong with that.
Yeah. You know, there's no doubt about it. Now, obviously, Conor and everybody else who was on the main event and co-main event got a piece of that pay-per-view money. There's no doubt about it. But think about it. Ronda made $10 million confirmed in her last fight, and she lost. So this is the fight game. I got no problems with fighters putting it down as long as you put up. But like I said, I think there's still some fights for him at 45, even though he's there. And let's not forget, Conor McGregor lost at 55. As a matter of fact, the guy he lost to is in the UFC right now, fighting at 55. So, 55 is...
And not only did he lose, I mean, he got beat up. He lost. It's not like it was a close decision. He got his butt whooped.
And the guy who... I forgot his name. I think the guy's name is Patrick. I might be wrong. But he wants to fight Conor McGregor right now. I mean, you can't blame him. You know, look at this kid he beat coming in with all this hype and this swag and doing everything, and he's in the 55 division like nobody knows him. You know what I mean? But he wants to fight him right now. So it's an interesting dynamic. But we'll hold that for a minute. I think we got a few things we have to talk about. Chris Weidman, did he truly underestimate Luke Rockhold? I mean, I saw that fight. It looked like he hurt Luke a little bit. But Weidman got beat up. I was thoroughly surprised that happened to him the way it happened. Hello? Still there?
Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button on my phone. So, as far as Weidman goes, you know, let's just be honest. He had that fight won. Had he just continued to throw those body kicks, he would have finished Rockhold. Rockhold's stomach was hurt. He winced every time he threw that body kick. Instead, I don't know what he was thinking, and even he said he didn't know what he was thinking. He went for the wheel kick, gave Rockhold the opportunity to take him down, and that changed the entire fight, because right from there, Rockhold was able to get Mount and then just punished Weidman. And I think at that moment in the fight, you know, both guys were extremely gassed, and Weidman just didn't have the energy to get Rockhold off of him, and he got punished. And I'm a firm believer that Herb Dean should have stopped the fight in the third round. There was no need for Weidman to take all the punishment that he did, and there was no need for Weidman to come back out in the fourth round to get beat up some more.
I agree. You know, looking at that, just covering your face, I've said it time and time again, or covering up is not an intelligent defense. It's not. And he just sat there and had his face covered, and I was just like, why isn't he stopping the fight? I mean, it looked bad. If I say anything else, I'll be lying. It looked bad. It really looked bad, like the official just had a momentary lapse, or, you know what I mean? Like, it just looked bad. It just looked bad, you know, because he wasn't doing anything but just covering his face. And I just didn't understand it. I didn't understand it, you know. He gave him the warning, fight back, fight back. I think he said it like 3 or 4 times, and he didn't do anything. And then I think, if I saw the fight correctly, he looked up at the clock to say, oh, well, let's just run it out. But that wasn't his choice. I mean, there's a fighter on the ground getting beat. But, wow.
Yeah. Needless. And here's the thing. You bring up a great point. Just covering yourself is not intelligently defending yourself. That is instinctually defending yourself. And those are two different things. Okay, when you're basically knocked so silly that you don't know what's going on, the only option you have are what you have instinctively, and that is essentially the cover-up, and that's all he's doing. That's not an intelligent defense. An intelligent defense is trying to, you know, get out of mount, rolling over, giving up your back, doing things to better your position intelligently, just sitting
right
there and putting your forearms over your face so you don't take the brunt of his elbow with your nose, that's instinctive. That's not intelligent.
Right.
And yeah, I love Herb Dean. I think he's a solid ref. I think he made a horrible mistake here. And to be honest, the one who's paying for it is Chris Weidman.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Should we take a break? There's still a lot we got to talk about. Let's take a quick break. And
let's get it out.
Come on back with some more Knuckle Up.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists, and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.
All right, really quick. So, we have a fight tonight. I mean, Saturday. We have Bellator tonight. Where do we go? You know, Bellator is looking to do some things. They've been pushing this event. I have to be honest with you, man. I'm still an MMA fan, and I still like Bellator. But when I told you guys, and I meant every word of it, that there was some air that was left out of that for me, and, you know, I just feel like I'm not amped up to sit down and watch Bellator anymore like I used to be. You know what I mean? And it's wrong that I categorize every event that they're putting on in that manner. But when I say I don't have the energy to sit down and watch it, I don't. I do, but if there's other things that I'm doing, I'm watching and moving. I'm not focused like I was on other events. You know, even watching ONE FC, just not focused like that. Is something wrong with me?
No. there's not, because that's what Bellator has become these days. But on the plus side, there is a plus side. You don't have to worry about that tonight because there is no Bellator event this weekend. However, there is a World Series of Fighting event tonight.
All right. Mixing those up then.
And it's the same thing. I love Ray. You know, we're good friends with Ray. But again, you know, if it's not a fighter that I have a personal investment in, then yeah, I'm like that. I'm doing dishes and watching at the same time. I'm building stuff with my kid and watching at the same time. It's not like tomorrow night, for instance, where I will be sitting in an isolated room all by myself with absolutely no distractions, watching the festivities.
There we go. So you can see my complete disappointment with Bellator.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's funny. You know, we're great friends with Bellator. We talk about them all the time. In all my talkings to them, you know, it's not like I'm not a vocal person. I let them know, you know, you guys are sliding. You guys are sliding. And to be real honest, they're lucky that a person like Mark Pavlich is out of the game. Otherwise, he truly would have completely taken over the number two spot.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's all you can say is yeah. Yeah. So, World Series of Fighting. Fans, I apologize. World Series of Fighting. So you have Palmer fighting tonight. You know, and I really don't even know this kid's name. You know, where he came from, how he got a shot. That's just how bad it's been. Not that I'm not paying attention, but when you have 10 things that you have to do, well, and there's 8 minutes in the day, you have to prioritize what you're going to do with those eight. And it just seems like Bellator and World Series of Fighting are falling off into my last pieces of things that I have to do. You know what I mean? Like, I'm telling you, I'm not watching the fights. I'm watching them. But if I'm watching and moving, I'm watching and moving. I'm not focused. And that's where I am. So, guys, don't lose faith in me. I'm a human being. You know, I only have two arms and two legs, 24 hours in the day. But my life is crazy right now with everything going on. And you know.
To be honest, I, you know, again, if I was a listener, I would not be blaming you. It's very simple. I blame the promoters. Put on a product that keeps us entertained. Put on a product that makes it so that's my main focus and not anything else. You guys used to do that, but you don't anymore. Get back to that point and we won't be having these conversations. I don't put it on you. I don't put it on me. I put it on the promoter. Because that's the product that they're putting out for us to watch. And again, it's not strong enough to keep my full attention. It's strong enough to keep part of my attention, which is why I have it on a TV. But it's not strong enough to have 100% dedication. It's just not.
No doubt about it. Let's move right into the UFC event we have tomorrow. You know, I'm pretty stoked about this card, man. You know, I really am.
I'm ecstatic.
I think Donald Cerrone, I think it's time. You know, I'll get to that part, but I just like the fact that, you know, he's been able to do what he's wanted to do and how he's wanted to do it. You know what I mean? And I'm you know, let's go.
You know, I'm excited. I'm stoked. I can't wait for this fight. Cerrone hasn't lost since the last time he faced Dos Anjos back in August of 2013. He's on an 8-fight win streak. And not only is he on an 8-fight win streak, other than the Ben Henderson fight, he's pretty much dominated everybody that they've put in front of it. I know he's focused for this fight. I'm excited. And then when you look at the rest of this card, oh, my God, you have JDS versus Alistair Overeem. You have Nate Diaz versus Michael Johnson. You have Ronda Marcus in Carolina. I can't even pronounce the last name, but I am so excited for that fight. Then you have Miles Jury making his 145-pound debut against Charles Oliveira. I mean, this card could be a pay-per-view card, but they gave it to us on Fox. I love it. I'm excited. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, man. Look, when I say I'm amped for this fight, I'm amped for this fight. I mean, think about this. JSD and Overeem were two fighters that we were talking about when they were heavy, when he was a heavyweight champ, and that fight should have happened. Is Junior back? Is he ready? Is he focused to get his title back? I mean, you know, the guy who has the belt, he crushed him, you know, and I know that that eats at a fighter when that happens, you know what I mean? And a guy like Overeem, who had a lot of hype coming in, man, but just couldn't produce the way he wanted to produce. Yeah, he beat Brock, but like I said, I think Brock beat himself. I think Brock never was the same after that fight with Cain Velasquez, and I think Brock was just fooling himself, you know, really just fooling himself. So I don't know. I really don't know, but that's why these fights have to happen, so to speak. You know what I mean? So I'm pumped, pumped about it, you know. And then, you know, you have Marcos and you have the other lady. And, I mean, think about it. You even have Nate Diaz. Now, how do I say this? The Diaz have really haven't impressed me in a long time. You know, they really haven't. If I tell you anything else, I'll be lying. But he's on the card. Is he going to come to fight or is he going to come to goof around? You know, I think this is one of his last fights before the UFC may have to let him go, you know, just because he's not producing the way that he should be. But here's another fight nobody's really talking about. You know, you have Nate Marquardt versus C.B. Dolloway on this card, you know.
Old lion versus young lion.
Yeah, you know, wow. I mean, think about it. Danny Castillo's on this card facing Nick Lentz.
Yeah, it's way like, down at the beginning of the prelims.
Yeah, you know, it's just, this is a pay-per-view card. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And the fact that it's on Fox, like you said, is even more spectacular, you know. But I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see it. That being said, I know we jumped right into a lot of things, but we missed the news segment. We missed it last week, too. Is there any other news that we should be focusing on?
You know, to be real honest, coming out of the three events last week into the event this week, they announced some filler fights that are of no consequence to anyone other than the fighters and their family. There's really no news significant. Fedor announced his fight last night. In fact, his opponent is so irrelevant, I can't even remember his name. It's the Indian kickboxer. He's 2-0 in MMA and 40-10 in kickboxing. A joke.
Well, let's not say that. And the reason why I say let's not say that is for two reasons. Fedor has fought everybody in MMA to fight, you know. And most of the heavyweight fighters that are taken up, that are still active, are taken up by other promotions. You know, what I would like to have seen, if they could have pulled that off, was Fedor fight Brandon Vera. You know what I mean? Since Brandon has such a dominant performance, you know, I think they could have pulled that much money. And also, he's a heavyweight champion, you know. But
and he would have jumped at the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, but what else could they do? You know, what else could they do? I mean, that's just like saying, okay, let him fight Mirko Krokop. If the UFC will let him go or slide or, you know, do something. You know what I mean? I mean, all the major fighters are done. And I don't think Randy wants to get his teeth or his fillings or whatever knocked out again. So.
No. Yeah. I don't think so either. And, yeah, no. He just wants his $2 million paycheck.
Hey, look. You
can't
know how we feel about fighters.
$2 million paycheck.
Yeah, man. You know how we feel about fighters making money.
Yep. Go get it. Go get it.
How do you think Ryzen is going to do?
How do I think who's going to do?
Ryzen. Fighting Federation.
I'm not. Either they have very deep pockets or, you know, look for them throwing New Year's Eve events only.
Yeah, man, look, we definitely have to see. I mean, like I said, the fact that, I think I said it on this show before, the fact that Spike would pick them up rather quickly to promote their show as opposed to 1FC was really shocking by me because, you know, 1FC has been dominant in Asia. You know, that's what you would want. But
yeah,
it's an interesting dynamic that he just comes and bang. And it could be a thing with Coker, too. You know, Coker knew him for a long time and maybe just brought this into play. But I'm anxious to see how they do it. If this event is not everything that I think it is, then you're right. You know, we'll just be looking at New Year's Eve events or one or two shows a year.
So I'm anxiously awaiting. I want to see what they're doing, what's going to happen. But I'm not willing to bet the farm and say they're going to be putting on 10 shows a year.
Nah, I mean, not even close. Look, I went to their website that they finally got up, and I think they only have a total of 14 fighters on their rosters. At least that's what their website says, 14. So when, you know, I could be wrong since the last time I was there, but how do you do a promotion with 14 fighters? You know, it was like literally somebody thought of this idea and we're just going to put it together and roll with it and see how it happens. You know, but to pay one fighter $2 million tells you that, you know, they must have some money from someplace. Somebody is looking and saying, okay, let's make this happen. You know, because that's not small money at all. That's not small money at all, especially with the UFC coming out and saying their last event, you know, was less than $2 million. Their payroll was less than $2 million.
Yep. So that's a ton of cheese. So, like I said, somebody somewhere has some pretty deep pockets.
I can dig that. Well, listen, I think that's all we have. World Tears of Fighting, Bellator, UFC talk. Do we have any other? The latest issue of Scrap Fight Magazine is out now with Misha Tate on the cover. So check that out at scrapfightmag.com. Thought I should throw that out there because that's been saying it's coming for a while. As you know, we had an issue with the graphic designer. He was sick. So that's why it took a week for us to get it back from him. However, that being said, it's out. Enjoy it. Next week, I believe we will be having a show because Christmas is on a Wednesday. So if not, we'll let you know. So everybody stayed knuckled up. Thanks, partner, for sitting in. Don't forget, for this or any other episode, go to the Google Play Marketplace and download the free Sports Action Network mobile app. Also, for the latest MMA news and information, that's The MMA Corner. That's TheMMAcorner.com. Everybody enjoy the fights. Have a great holiday, Christmas, man. Let's spend time with family and friends. Tell somebody that you love them and make sure that they know. Stay knuckled up, brother, and we'll talk next week.